Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals Corporation Limited Q4 FY 2025 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harmish Desai. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Avira. Good evening and welcome to the fourth quarter and full year FY 2025 earnings call of Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals Limited hosted by PhillipCapital. From the management, we have Mr. Sailesh Mehta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Subhash Anand, President and Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Suparas Jain, Executive VP, Corporate Finance, and Mr. Debashis Kedia, Senior GM, Corporate Finance. I would like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. We will begin the call with opening remarks from Mr. Sailesh Mehta, followed by Mr. Subhash Anand for update on financial performance, post which we'll have a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Is my voice clear?
It's clear, sir. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So very warm welcome to all of you for the Q4 and 12-month FY 2025 earnings call. I do hope all of you have had a chance to review the presentations. But just from my side at the outset, in terms of the headlines, I'm indeed happy to share that Q4 top line grew by 28%, and PAT, the bottom line, grew by 21%. For the full year, the top line grew by 18%, and we crossed 10,000 crores. But the headline there is that PAT, bottom line, grew by 102%. It's almost doubled. Based on these good results and also balancing it out with the CapEx plan, though the thought was to look at even higher dividends, but the board, in a conservative manner, has recommended 100% dividends. So now, just to share some insights in terms of when I look at the year as a whole, to look at the undercurrents and to try and share with you in terms of what we feel is panning out, what has worked. So somewhere, I see very clearly that strategy and execution coming together now and getting validated, revalidated in the P&L, in the financial outcomes that we are seeing. So number one that we see is that our enhanced business focus aligned to the India growth story is certainly continuing to be a very positive tailwind for all the businesses that we are looking at, in the sense that for the fueling of the India growth story, the focus on coal for power, limestone cement for the real estate sector, infrastructure, all those are going to be continuing to be critical. And that is where our mining chemicals, technical ammonium nitrate, continues to be beautifully aligned. Similarly, as the mid-income group grows, they move from basic rice, wheat, bajra to horticulture, fruits, vegetables, is something that we are seeing as a continuing trend, and which is where our CNB business, fertilizer business, is very well aligned. And similarly, our industrial chemicals business is riding on the alignment with China Plus One, specialty chemicals, and the pharma sector. So one dimension that we see is that this alignment with the India growth story not only is giving us a continued positive traction on the demand perspective side, but is also somewhere insulating us from the global volatility, which has somewhere emerged with all these tariff dimensions that are emerging. The second and the more critical aspect that we are seeing is that our dedicated drive to move from commodity to specialty is continuing to gain grounds and give us a very positive traction. With the push that we have, overall we are seeing that almost 22% of our revenues are now emerging out of this move into the specialty space. The key contributor to the transformation from commodity to specialty is certainly the crop nutrition business, the fertilizer business, where virtually now every product that we sell has somewhere a specialty offering. It is not just same as what anyone else in the industry are offering. And all of our NPK either is sold as NPK with a growth promoter coating, which is giving a much higher boost to the nutrient use efficiency, or in a major way, and which is what has transpired in this last year, where we have moved from commodity NPK to crop specific NPK along with micronutrients and growth promoters. And by now we have now enhanced the number of grades. We are catering to many more crops than what we were in the previous year. Now this aspect of it is somewhere very, very deeply making an impact in terms of not just the yield, but also somewhere the quality dimensions of the agri-produce, and which is where we are now having a very positive traction in terms of repeat customers and a very strong attraction also from the channel. And uniquely, we have seen that it now we have clocked up not just in terms of the sales, which is by way of invoices, but also by way of liquidation, which would mean that the farmers have actually bought the fertilizers. And that speaks very strongly about the value proposition that they are seeing in terms of the crop tech or the crop specific fertilizers. So with that, if I look at just the crop nutrition business, besides the crop specific fertilizers, we are also into Benself, which is another specialty fertilizer. We are also into the water soluble fertilizers, which are also specialty fertilizers. And all put together, we are seeing that there is a lot of value that we could bring to the table by looking at not just commodity product orientation, but somewhere bringing in a lot of weightage to what could impact the farmers and the yields and so also their income levels. Similarly, the journey continues from commodity to specialty even in our technical ammonium nitrate mining chemical business. And whereas you would be aware that our range of product itself caters to all possible segments in the mining sector, whether it is ammonium nitrate melt or the high dense product or the porous prills, the global best porous prills, right up to the hospital segment is what we are catering to. And some of these segment by segment catering to the needs of that particular segment is somewhere now making more and more sense that that is the way to go, and that is what is bringing the strength. Similarly, in the acids, again, every segment, right from 58% acid, 60% acid, 72% acid, right up to 98% acid, is something that we are catering to. And going up to even specialized acid with additives for the steel grid, steel companies that are there. Finally, even in case of IPA, that our move towards moving away from commodity IPA to pharma grade IPA is something that is bearing good fruits. So that those two aspects are aspects which I feel at the undercurrent level have given a lot of confidence and is giving us a very positive feeling in terms of sustainability of these good results. And going forward, as we move more and more towards segmenting the market and catering to each segment, and as we move more and more from pure commodity product offering to a holistic solution offering, we are seeing that, you know, not only there will be, I would say, additions to the contribution margin, but we are on our way to creating valuable brands in the spaces that we are performing, in the spaces that we are having our business focus. Building upon the same, I would say, strength, we have also taken up projects of enhancing capacities on nitric acid at Dahej and on our technical ammonium nitrate at Gopalpur. And somewhere, you know, those aspects are also very strongly built on both these dimensions. Both are projects that are beautifully aligned to the India growth story. Both the projects draw strength from our 40 years of knowledge and experience of that sector. And, you know, that aspect of it is going to ensure that in the least gestation period, it should be, you know, begin its contribution to the bottom line. And both of them, we are looking at somewhere, you know, H2 of FY26 to bring it into our financial fold. I'm also happy to share that we, with the good cash flows that were there, we were in a position to further reduce the net debt by around 120 crores. And now the net to EBITDA ratio has improved to a healthy 1.72 versus 2.66, which was in the previous year. We also brought in and infused 800 crores in our subsidiary Deepak Mining Solutions, which is also available for the group, by way of CCD, Compulsory Convertible Debentures. And that is also going to deleverage and make the balance sheet even more healthier as we go forward. So, as we look at this aspect, we were also from a project perspective seeing that some, I would say, competition could be emerging. And when we looked at ourselves, we saw unique USPs against competition that, you know, we will be bringing to the table. Uniquely, our facilities will be now on both East Coast and West Coast, and that will provide a freight advantage to us as we serve our customers. With having multiple facilities in terms of our technical ammonium nitrate and our nitric acids, we will be singularly placed to provide 100% assured supplies to our customers, which others may not be able to. With the 40 years of knowledge and experience in the market, uniquely we will be bringing in a huge supply chain advantage of warehouses, dealers and others to be able to cater to these customers. And of course, the 40 years of knowledge and experience will be uniquely standing on our side, whether it is in terms of raw material availability, operations, safety, health environment, logistics, so on and so forth. And the biggest advantage that we see in ourselves is now integrated advantage emerging out of a tied up, long-term tied up LNG contract, then from LNG, ammonia, from ammonia, the multiple nitric acid plants that are there, and then reaching up to the downstream. So this kind of a complete value chain is something which will be very, very unique to the Deepak Fertilizer Group. And finally, when we move right up to the requirements of the end consumer, whether it's the farmer or the mine, you know, this is something where this kind of strength, right from LNG to the final finish impactful product plus solutions, is something that, you know, in the next 2 to 3 years will be something that will be uniquely available from Deepak Fertilizer and its subsidiaries, unlike anyone else. Having said that, there is a perplexment that does remain in my mind. Recently, when we did the CCD negotiations, on the basis of just the mining business, DMSL, we were in a position to garner the funding at 12x EBITDA, which puts the valuation of just the mining business to 13,000 odd crores. Whereas in totality, Deepak Fertilizer is somewhere getting valued at 17,000 odd or 18,000 odd. And the perplexment has been that how is it that the sum of the parts, meaning the totality of the three businesses which are doing so well, somewhere is not getting valued as much as one part is getting valued, and which is where I seek a better understanding with your help to be able to somewhere get across to the various investor community in terms of the real strength that we bring in terms of our 40 years of knowledge base, the real strength that is going to emerge in terms of the strategy at play, whether it is in terms of the alignment with the India growth story, whether is it is in terms of the long-term LNG contract that we have, and the value that we will be bringing right from gas to ammonia to the downstream, or the huge work and now well-accepted work that we are doing from commodity to specialty, and finally, you know, also helping to bring far more clarity in terms of each business having unwound and now restructured into each business into a separate corporate entity to bring a much more clearer perspective and vision. Some of these aspects I look forward to each one of you to not only absorb but to help communicate so that there is a better understanding of our businesses. So with that thought, I hand you over to Subhash, who will take you through the details of the Q4 and 12 month. Subhash?
Thank you, Mr. Mehta, and good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you all to Deepak Fertilizer and Petrochemical Corporation Limited earning call for the fourth quarter and full year financial year ended 31st March 2025. We are pleased to report yet another quarter and year of strong performance marked by resilient operations, robust financials and continued progress on our strategic transformation journey. Let me start with financials highlight. Revenue for quarter four, operating revenue stood at 2,667 crore, a strong 28% increase YOY. Primarily led by our CNB business, which grew by 86%. The full year FY25, we reported 10,274 crore in revenue. That's an 18% growth over FY24. Notably, our specialty product portfolio now contributes 22% of our total revenue, led by our crop-specific innovations and our premium Elden product. On EBITDA front, Q4 EBITDA came in at 480 crore, up 10% YOY. While the margin for quarter stood at 18%, slightly lower due to change in business mix. Individually, if we look three business separately, both TAN and CNB segments individually saw margin expansions. Since the growth of this quarter primarily led by fertilizer business, that mix change is resulted into this contractions or the lower margin what we are able to see at console level. Individually, each business is showing an expanded margin and contributing healthy to the bottom line. For the full year, EBITDA grew remarkably, 50% up to 1,925 crore, with a margin improvement of 390 basis points to 19%. Coming to net profit, our Q4 net profit increased 21% YoY to 278 crore. FY25, we delivered 945 crore in net profit, doubling YoY. Reflecting strong margin execution and cost discipline, the net profit margin improved by 381 basis points to 9%. I would like to highlight that Q4 includes one-time deferred tax creation of 37 crore linked to DMSL demerger. Excluding this, the group effective tax rate would be approximately 24.7% for the quarter, compared to reported 13.2%. Coming to balance sheet and cash flow, as Mr. Mehta pointed out, we have generated 1,400 crore free operating cash flow supported by robust EBITDA and improved working capital efficiency. Working capital as a percentage of revenue declined from 17% to 12%. Despite capital expenditure or CapEx of around 1,100 crore in FY25, net debt was reduced to 3,305 crore from 3,426 crore a year ago. As a result, our net debt to EBITDA ratio improved significantly from 2.66 to 1.72x in this year. Net debt to equity now stands at healthy 0.53. In Q1 FY26, our subsidiary DMSL raised 800 crore CCD, further fortifying the group balance sheet. These results reflect our clear focus on financial prudence, capital efficiency, and balance sheet strengthening. Some more insight on our segmental performance. On our crop nutrition business, that is CNB, the business had one of its strongest ever Q4 showing. The bulk fertilizers grew at 68% YoY to 2.1 lakh metric tons. For the full year FY25, we have crossed 1 million metric ton milestone, with manufactured volume surged from 55% to 888 KT. Our crop-focused specialty product Croptek more than doubled in its volume in Q4, up 111% YoY basis. Specialty fertilizers volume, which includes Bensulf and WSF, rose 13% YoY. Looking ahead, we are optimistic for the Kharif season, supported by forecast of above-normal monsoon and our targeted approach across cotton, soybean, paddy, and corn through the Mahadhan brand. On mining chemical, our TAN business continued to deliver strong operational performance. TAN volume in Q4 grew 13% sequentially to 146 KT, though YoY we have seen a 3% decline. Full year basis, the volume grew by 3%. Eldent, our premium specialty offering, recorded 13% sequential and 11% YoY growth. Our increasing the B2C revenue share to 18%. As India infrastructure and mining demand remains strong, particularly in coal, cement, steel, and aggregate, we see a positive momentum sustaining through FY26. On industrial chemical, despite a volatile global environment, this segment saw a solid performance. Nitric acid volumes saw a 29% YoY increase in Q4 and 3% for full year. IPA volume declined due to plant shutdown for our process enhancement and productivity improvement, which is now completed in FY25, and IPA volume for full year IPA volume was down 5%, primarily again led by this shutdown, which was important for us to ensure we have enhanced productivity and process going forward. Talking about outlook, nitric acid remained well positioned with improving downstream demand from TAN, while IPA faces some near-term margin pressures due to oversupply and weak acetone prices. Our specialty product line is gaining steady market traction and positive customer feedback. Coming to our strategic project update, which is Gopalpur for TAN and nitric acid for the Dahej, both have seen steady performance. The Gopalpur progress is 75% and the Dahej project has progressed 48%. We stand committed commissioning of both the plant is expected in H2 FY26. These investments are crucial enablers of our next growth cycle, focus on import substitutions, margin expansions and deeper market integrations. To conclude, FY25 was a pivotal year for Deepak Fertilizers. Our strong financials and operational performance is a direct result of strategic transformations undertaken over the past few years. The momentum is expected to continue in FY26, driven by macro tailwind and our focus on high-margin differentiated products. We are entering the new fiscal year with strong foundations financially and operationally, and we remain confident in our ability to deliver sustained long-term value to all our stakeholders. With that, I now open the floor for any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge. Please go ahead. Mr. Tarang, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Mr. Tarang, your line has been unmuted. The next question, since there is no response, the next question is from the line of Jainam Gilani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead. Mr. Jainam, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes. Audible. You may go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. So my first question is, what is the current ammonia pricing and what was our annual savings in FY25 from the ammonia plant?
Okay. In fact, the current price of ammonia is around 300.
290.
The last quarter, I'll say the average price is around $330. That's what the average number what we have seen. The saving is, I'll not say saving in terms of ammonia we need to see separately, because now we have an integrated supply chain. As we continue to maintain, our EBITDA break-even is around $310-$320, and that's the time or that at that price, the PCL remain a EBITDA break-even.
Okay. And so what would be an EBITDA from our industrial chemicals business and fertilizers business, if you could specify?
No, we don't give segment-wise EBITDA margin this thing. But overall EBITDA, if you see, yes, at console level, we have delivered 19% EBITDA. all three business has a different level of EBITDA. That's definitely we all understand, and each one of you aware of. In terms of mining business, that's a highly profitable business. Fertilizer business, as such, the industry is compared to all three businesses, comes at a lower level. Industrial chemical at the mid level.
Okay, that would be helpful, sir. And my last question is that what would be our peak debt levels over the next 2 years, because we have this huge capex upcoming.
No, that's a, in fact a standard question. I call it every time this come up, and right so also. Good thing is we are reaching towards our current capex cycle is reaching towards fag end. The cycle we started with PCL capitalization or PCL operations. Now with Gopalpur and the Dahej coming to a fag end, and we are expecting to commencing of production sometime in H2 of this year. So the debt level currently we are at around 3,300 crore. We expect to be around 5,000 crore when the peak touches.
So can we expect that by end of FY26, 5,000 crores could be our peak debt, and then we can expect deleveraging from next year?
Yes, that's the right assumption, because then the two new facility which are coming up will start contributing sizably to our bottom line as well as to cash flow. So the deleveraging will start after that.
Okay, sir. That's it for my side. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your very detailed presentation, and congratulations on the results. So in terms of the two housekeeping questions I have, one is your other expenses have gone up both on a YOY and quarter on quarter basis in the consolidated results. And secondly, in the segment results, your chemical business segment earnings is down. Both again on YOY and quarter on quarter basis. Is that because of the IPA shutdown or any other reason for that?
You're talking quarter, right?
For the fourth quarter, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, industrial chemical, yes, we have an IPA shutdown, and that has an impact on our profitability.
And in terms of the increase in other expenses?
In fact, since the majority of the growth has come from CNB business, and that has a very high freight outward, so that's the impact what you see in our other expenses.
Is that seasonal, or is it something which will continue depending on the growth in your fertilizer business?
It's a business specific. CNB growing will always see freight expenses going up higher compared to other two business.
Okay, so now on the projects and the long term, growth in your cash flows and returns. So if you look at your expansion in nitric acid and the integration into downstream TAN, what is the incremental ROC you will get on the additional capex once you reach peak utilization, and what is the peak utilization you expect by say FY27?
No, in fact, both the new projects what we have embarked on, we are looking an healthy ROC somewhere in the range of 18 to 20%, and we'll prefer to maintain that level for these two projects.
And what is the utilization level required for this sort of ROC?
This is the standard what we see. I call it first year we expect 70%, which is the normal ramp up. At the moment we go to an 80-85%, we start seeing this kind of an ROC.
Okay, so one last thought on the ammonium nitrate prices which you may have used for your estimates. So these numbers require any further increase in prices? Or at current prices, you'll be able to achieve? Because the reason why I'm asking that is there are two competitors who are setting up, Chambal and GNFC. So is there a challenge in terms of the placement of the additional volume in the next 1-2 years before the actual long-term growth in the downstream end-use sectors is able to absorb the incremental capacity? What is your thought on that?
Although Mr. Mehta touched upon our plant USP and uniqueness, but let me give you a few data points. Currently, the demand of TAN is around 1.4 million and the present capacity in Indian market is around 1 million. So this industry is net short. So there is enough headroom for new player to come in and substitute import. And second thing, this industry, the TAN demand itself is growing 6 to 7% YOY. That itself is, if we say, roughly around a million ton is getting added in the demand every year. So if you just put these two number in place and the new capacity which is coming up, the ramp up doesn't happen on day one. Everybody will have its own ramp up time. By the time this capacity actually available in the market, net will again be start seeing import higher than the supply available. So we don't see a challenge in the TAN demand. Second, you would have seen our specialty and downstream efforts reaching from customer to consumer. So that's another thing which will help us to create our space and our uniqueness, because we are a strong player in this market. First mover, 40 years, downstream, all this, and then we are uniquely placed on both the cost, west or north. All these things factor will make us a very different player or at a different league player. We don't see a challenge placing our capacity in the market.
Thank you for your detailed explanation and wish you all the best. I'll join the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Gada from Abacus AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Sort of a continuation on this overall TAN growth. Just for the fourth quarter as well as, for the last 3 years, if we see the growth in our TAN volumes has been sort of suboptimal. It's been around 1 to 2% range. While we are talking about a capacity of close to 6 lakhs, we've still not been able to achieve, it is closer to those kind of levels. So is it because of there being the demand being slower, or is it something where we are capacity constrained in terms of our nitric acid, which you have mentioned, that is having an impact on this overall business?
No, Nikhil, you are right. There is no demand constraint actually. We do have a demand and we are at this point of time constrained by supply side. We have a nitric acid capacity constraint and that's a limiting factor for us to grow our TAN substantially. And that's one of the main reasons for us to get into capacity and expansion and then cater to the demand which we already know we have in front of us. Second thing, if you see what is immediate, we have done some debottleneck of TAN business, TAN capacity and nitric acid capacity last year towards H2, towards end of H1 or beginning H2, I call it. TAN. So that will also help us to do some additional volume this year. But yes, and second thing, if you ask me in TAN business especially, our focus is more moving from more and more specialty downstream from customer to consumer, and that gives us not only additional stickiness of the business but also incremental margins. So the focus is more till the time we have capacity, we'll continue to go more towards value add and expand our margin. And when the capacity available, we are good to go in a full flow.
Okay, sir.
I hope I answered your question.
Yes, sir. Then do we sort of say that even for FY26, I understand that you are focusing on more value addition, but in terms of volume growth, do we see FY26 also to do like a 2-3% volume growth, or we see better volume growth in FY26? Since your capacity is going to come, most of it will start in FY27, yeah?
No, it will be slightly more than the number what you are saying. We do expect with some bottlenecking, we'll be able to do slightly better or better than thing. But yes, if you're looking leapfrog jump, then that will happen once Gopalpur comes in place.
Fair enough, sir. Got it. Sir, and in terms of, you know, the ammonia business, you've sort of mentioned that, you know, 310, 320 levels. In terms of our, because we have factored in it at $400, $410, and based on that our working has been made in this business. Is there a better way to, you know, are we always dependent on the pricing for ammonia on a global level, or is there a better way to get an understanding of the spreads? Because since quarterly we are not getting all the subsidiary data as well, it's becoming a bit of a challenge to understand exactly the spread levels.
Two things basically. Okay, ammonia pricing is internationally available. I won't say there is any challenge. This is a published number. Everyday numbers available, so one can.
I understand, yeah. But then because you sell at a premium as well, so definitely yeah. The price. So,
Okay, broadly, if you ask me, we do publish quarterly how is the ammonia price going on. So this is a number, and there is a standard formula from FOB Middle East to the landed how the number comes in. We can have that discussion, and we can discuss around that. But normally, if I talk about finally, any change in ammonia price, we are an integrated business, so it's a shift from one business to another. In net-net, if you see, we still the margin remain within business because we are an integrated player. Mm-hmm. So we do, even if we see a softness here, but we do see a margin expansion for our other business.
So, sir, if I want to ask it in a different way, the fourth quarter margins, which were at 23%, it has got nothing to do with the TAN ammonia spread. It's largely because of the industrial chemical business, you know, IPA business not doing well.
No, which for fourth quarter 23%, I didn't get your number. That's, we have an 18% margin.
So I'm talking about the chemical business EBIT margins, which were at 23% for the fourth quarter, vis-a-vis 27%, 28%, 31% for the last 3 quarters.
No, okay. When you're looking at chemical business, it has overall, if you see ammonia price between this last year, broadly it remain at a similar level, barring one quarter when it significantly gone up, but otherwise it remain broadly at the same level. Last quarter specifically, the dip in industrial chemical or dip in chemical business segment is IPA is one thing which has impacted because there is a pressure of IPA prices globally, and that has impacted margin of industrial chemical business. The last year overall ammonia prices was broadly stable barring quarter three when it has seen a substantial increase, I call it.
Understood. Got it, sir. So then, just to complete this point.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Nikhil. Can we return to the question queue for a follow-up?
Sure. I'll get back in. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Paracha from ASK Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I hope Sailesh Bhai is on the call because in his initial remarks, he made a comment that there was a certain valuation assigned to the mining chemical business, which represented the bulk of the value of the firm. And he was kind of expressing wonderment as to why that is the case. So if, I hope Sailesh Bhai is on the call.
No, Bharat Bhai, keep asking. I should be able to answer your questions.
Because he raised the question, I thought he'll be there to discuss that question that he had raised. But be it as it may, I'll reach out to him separately. But if he, Shivashi, if he continue to play coy and not give proper details of each business in terms of underlying moving parts, its profitability, and the change of the traction over a period of time, how do you expect really speaking for people to be able to analyze a business which has three main activities and each activity has many moving parts, and therefore whole aggregate performance is so much harder to analyze unless and until details are shared. Now, of course, the crop business is put into Madan, and the mining business is gone into, I think, DMSL. So picture would start getting more clear. But I wonder why that has not been the case so far.
No, Bharat bhai, very rightly so, and definitely we started talking more, far more insight into our segmental businesses, what we used to talk earlier. And it's only a matter of time when you start seeing us coming up with far more detail. Input well taken, we'll work on this.
Subhashri, the entity which is DMSL now received 800 crores of the convertible debenture, right?
Yes.
And effectively, I assume it will dilute equity capital of that business by about 6 to 7%.
Yeah, on a valuation of around 13,000 crore, 800 crore will be around, yeah, around that, 6%.
So that that will get converted in by what time frame?
No, in fact, CCD is for 48 months. But there is an option after 30 months, we can convert anything after 30 months.
Okay. And till then it will carry the interest rate.
Yeah, till that time it has a coupon rate.
So therefore about 94% equity will belong to the holding Deepak Fertilizers.
That's right. Once that I yeah.
And on Madan, what is the equity dilution of 400 crore that has happened? How much is the equity?
That is internal, not to external public. That's basically there was a OCD which Deepak has that got converted into equity. So that's 100% remain 100%. Nothing changes.
So then 400 crore, which is being injected there, where does it reside?
Yeah, it basically there was an OCD which was in ICD. There was an equity infusion from Deepak Fertilizers to Mahadan. So the 100% still remain 100%. Nothing changes for them.
Oh, it's just the left and right pockets.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there's no external.
So that's a very confusing kind of...
No, it's basically to strengthen Mahadan balance sheets, the Deepak Fertilizer put in money.
Okay. And the 800 crore received in DMSL, I suppose, will remain in DMSL, except whenever dividends are paid out, the Deepak Fertilizer will get.
No, in fact, 800 crore in DMSL has come in for strengthening the DMSL balance sheet, including their capital expansions, which is planned. The Gopalpur is part of DMSL, so it's part and parcel of DMSL, strengthening balance sheet or for capital expansion.
One last thing, Subhashri. Over years we have grown. At times we have leapt ahead, then we have fallen behind, but we are still well below what we did in 2020 to 2023, when the turnover exceeded 11,000 crore and bottom line exceeded more than 2,000 crore. We are still well below those numbers. When do you think we'll surpass that performance?
Let's hope we surpass very soon.
Soon is in the current year, or it will be.
No, I won't put a number or time, immediate time frame for that. But yes, as a management, definitely surpassing that should be soon.
Okay, just one final thing. Current year outlook on the mining. Chemical business, how would you portray it?
Okay, current year we do see demand side, we don't see a challenge. Definitely we do have capacity constraint, and some debottlenecking will help us to grow volume. We expect volume will grow in current year, although it will be single digit. But we do expect margin expansions will play a larger role than the just volume growth. And that's what will be the story of DMSL. And then towards H2, when the new capacity come in, that will be a big, I'll say, change, which will take the entire mining business to the new level.
Right. So year of 2026-27 should be a record year for mining capacity.
Yes. That's where all the levers, whether it's a Gopalpur, whether it's a Dahej new plant, or whether it's a new gas contract, all will be fully operational at that time, and we will be in the new leap, I call it.
Okay. So 26 will be better year than 25 for mining chemicals.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Bharat.
Will be the record year.
Mr. Bharat,
just one
sorry
second,
to interrupt.
Completing this question.
Yeah, we do expect 26. Definitely, we will do an improvement. You see definitely a better result compared to FY25 what we have.
Sure. Thank you, Subhashji, and we'll connect with Sailesh Bhai also.
Sure. Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratyush Kamal from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I'm audible.
Yes, Pratyush.
Yeah. Congratulations on good set of numbers, sir. I have few questions. First is regarding the ammonia business, wherein you used to mention that about $380 per ton would be kind of break-even cost for you. But I suppose that, you know, usually produce ammonia from natural gas, use about 33-35 MMBtu of natural gas for that. So, and given the fact that the natural gas prices have fallen down significantly from Q3 to Q4 because of Brent linked and Henry Hub linked contract, so what is the current cost of gas which you are accumulating right now, due to which you would have, again, shifted your break-even cost from $380 to now $330, which you just mentioned?
No, in fact, 380 was, I don't think so we ever talked 380 in the dollar. We always maintained for EBITDA break-even, our number is around 310 to 320. So we broadly remain at that level for EBITDA break-even. Only thing, second thing, you're talking about gas. Currently, our gas prices are more, I say, since our long-term Equinor contract yet to get kicked in, and that will get kicked in only next year, FY26, and that's where we'll start seeing the real benefit of gas price reduction happening. Till that time, our contracts are linked to various baskets, not just one brand or not just one thing. And the impact of that is not immediately, movement of gas price is not immediately visible to us or not immediately getting passed on to us. So it has some lag when it comes to our ammonia pricing or costing.
Okay. So what is the usual time lag, sir, from the reduction of the basket of the price and your accumulating of the benefits of that?
It depends, but because each we buy from 3-4 sources, not just one source, so each has a different formula, I call it linkage. Yeah.
Understood, sir. And second is regarding your nitric acid business. I wanted to ask that other than the IPA, did you also see some kind of dumping from China as far as nitro aromatics compound is concerned, due to which, you know, it would have reduced or impacted your margins on nitric acid front?
Okay, nitric acid, when you're talking, yes, nitro aromatics do have a challenge because of imports coming in, and that seeing a competition. But other side of thing, the TAN business across the country is seeing a good demand, and nitric acid is one of the important component or a raw material input for that business. So nitric acid as a demand, as a total business, we haven't seen a challenge placing our nitric acid. Actually, if you see, we are net short of nitric acid. If we have more nitric acid, we can sell much more than what we are selling. So we don't see an immediate impact of one of the specific segments seeing a softness of nitric softness. Overall, we are comfortable when it comes to our whatever capacity we have, we are able to place and place it comfortably at the right profit level.
Understood, sir. So was there a possibility in terms of, you know, getting the nitric acid from some other manufacturers and, you know, manufacturing ammonium nitrate from that? If you were seeing a good demand coming up for ammonium nitrate and you were feeling short of the nitric acid, so was there a possibility, or what do you think on that, sir?
We continue to explore and keep looking for those opportunities. It's not key, we don't do that. Whenever right opportunity, we continue to keep looking and keep doing it.
Understood, sir. Just a final question regarding the expansion project.
Mr. Pratyush, can I request you to return to the question queue for a follow-up question?
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agrawal from Old Bridge. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks. Just a couple of questions, you know, rather bookkeeping. You know, you said, for TAN, is the licensed capacity 587 KT or 630 KT?
It's 587. TAN capacity.
Okay. Right. Okay. Got it. Second, how big is LDAN for you, and what is the significance of the B2C metric that you laid out in the presentation?
Okay. No, in fact, the LDAN is basically a product which gets used as an explosive in the mines or in infrastructure. So, we used to sell most of our product as a B2B segment. Of late, as a part of our TCO, we started working with end consumers, which is various mines and infra, and started working with them to supply LDAN directly to them. And that's how our downstream business or a B2C journey in TAN is expanding. And now we have reached to a level where our 18% of the share comes from our sale to B2C segments.
So just to understand correctly, I mean, if Coal India was your customer, was there an intermediary involved in between, and now you're selling it to Coal India directly? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'll not say the name of the customer, XYZ.
No, just an example. Just an example.
Yeah, but your understanding is right. Earlier, we were going through intermediary who were converting. Now we are able to reach out directly and make our product available to them directly.
Okay, and how are the metrics different for that business versus your overall business? I mean, do you get higher pricing, or your volume visibility is better, or your ability to protect your market share is better? I mean, any insight would be helpful.
All three, actually, not just one. It definitely it gives me value-based pricing, because the way our TCO model work, as we have explained earlier, we are moving towards solutions, productivity solutions to the end consumer. We are not just selling products. We are working as a partnership to them and showing we can improve their mine's productivity or infra productivity. The moment we reach out to solutions, so it's a value pricing that help us to expand margin, that help us to improve stickiness, and also because then we become actually a true partner. And third thing, definitely, I call it, once you have a stickiness in this, your market share improves.
So 18% is for FY25, Q4?
It's Q4.
Okay. Couple more on CapEx, you know.
Mr. Tarang, can we return to the question queue for a follow-up question?
These are just objective one-liner questions that I'm asking. Just give me a couple more, and then I'll get back on the line. So, sir, on CapEx, if you could give us your overall CapEx for FY26 and FY27, the maintenance CapEx within that. And last, for Gopalpur and Dahej, what has been the CapEx outlay till March 26 or 25, and what is the likely outlay in 26 and 27? Thanks. That's it from me.
In fact, the total CapEx this year, which we talk about FY26, total, the two new projects, total CapEx is expected to be around 4,500 crore, total I'm talking. Out of that, we already have, our capitalization is around 1,400 crore.
Okay.
That's what we already completed, so balance is expected in the current year.
So, 3,100 crores in FY26, all of it?
That's what we, because we need to complete the project, so this is the capex of this year expected.
And for your footprint, what is the maintenance capex that you run with?
That's roughly around, I'll say 300 to 400 crores. That's the normal maintenance capex, which will continue as a normal business.
Sure. Thank you. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks. Thank you once again for your time and interest in Deepak Fertilizers and Petrochemical Corporation Limited. We appreciate your continued support and look forward to engaging with you in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.